Hello, hello, hello. Hello, guys. Welcome back to another episode of Jane Speaks Podcast. I hope you guys are doing fantastic. I hope you're well. And thank you so much for coming on. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. And I hope you enjoy it. So on today's podcast, on this episode, I wanted to share with you, as you can probably tell from the title and from the picture, I wanted to share my own view on the book, The Other Black Girl. I've only just finished this book and I don't know how to, you know, explain it in a way, because I think the ending for me, I would say personally, the ending for me was a bit disappointing, you know, but the beginning really got me very interested. It made me want to keep listening and keep going, because I listened to it via Audible. And I also have my own review on the Audible version of it, because it was a bit confusing along the line listening to it, especially with the voices. And just as a side note, the girl, if you watch How to Get Away with Murder, the girl that played, oh my gosh, I've forgotten her name now, but her real name is, now I don't know how they actually pronounce the name, is AJA Naomi King. I don't know if it's Aja or Aja or Aya, maybe the J is Y, but it's Naomi King, the girl in the How to Get Away with Murder. So she was the one that did that one. She was one of the readers, and then many other people like that. I mean, I think because she did most of the reading part, and the voice switch was just, it can be a bit confusing, you know. Sometimes when these people are reading, they try to imitate different voices so that you can really understand the different character a bit more, which some are really executed properly. But with her, at some point, I mean, I think towards the beginning, it was, the voices was, I was just confused. I didn't even know which character was which. But I must give it to her, she tried to kind of say, you know, have a different tone and accent for different character, but they kind of were mismatch a little bit, you know. You couldn't really tell them apart sometimes, but you know, you kind of as time went on, you kind of understand it as you go along. But yeah, that's just me from the Audible side of it. But I'm sure if you were reading it in the book form, you would understand it way much better. But yeah, it's interesting. What I like about the book, because I don't want to give it away, obviously, it would be nice for you guys to read it, because as I would say, I would recommend it, actually. I would recommend it for you to read, but I found the ending a bit disappointing. But the storyline in between was very interesting, very, very interesting. I liked it. That's my view. And the story itself really is something that I, in a way, and I think a lot of many other black girls out there or women can kind of relate to, especially if you work in a professional field. You've met this kind of people. You've met them, you know them. And I found myself in the position of the lead character at some point, but not really that deeply, but it's like you could almost, you know, understand, you know, because it's interesting, because when you basically, the lead character there, she's the only black girl in that company. That was a publishing company, and she was the only black, not just the only black girl, the only black person. And I found myself in that situation before many times. And then another girl came in, you know, and the girl all of a sudden from nowhere was now kind of running the show, basically. And you know, I've felt that, I've been there, you know, when there's you who has probably been doing all the hard work, and there's some girl from nowhere just comes and start running the show in a way, and people are so, oh, they all don't really like her, everyone is so drawn to her, it's almost as if you don't even exist anymore. And then this girl was now, you know, before you knew it, because this lead character here, she has her own boss that she works. She was an assistant to one of the editors. And then all of a sudden, so this new girl who was coming as well has her own ed, you know, person that she's assisting. But all of a sudden, she's now coming to talk to the other girl's boss. And the girl was kind of almost running the show in a matter of weeks, whereas she has been there in how many years, and she's still not even had the privileges that this other girl has. People were so drawn to her, people want to listen to her, they want to listen to what she's got to say, and all those things like that. And you know, a lot of people have been there, especially when you work in a corporate environment. You find yourself in that kind of position one way or the other. You probably the other girl, the other black girl, who, you know, you come in and you just want to, you run the show, everybody listens to you and blah blah blah. Or you're the other girl who has been there working hard quietly, trying to climb on the top, trying to get to the top, trying to get to that, you know, get your big break, be actually achieve your dreams and do what you want to do in that company. So I know many of us at some point in our life, we've been in that kind of position, whether in both character way. And you know, I found myself more in the other way. I call her the name of the lead act character there was Nala. Her name was Nala, and the other girl was Azo, but Azo in quotation. And you, when you read the book, you will understand. So Nala was the one who is struggling. All of a sudden, Azo came from nowhere, and Nala starts to question herself. Now she now starts feeling insecure. She starts feeling this way, she starts feeling that way because of this Azo that everyone has just become so nice to, lovely to. It's that everyone is listening to her and things like that. And it's so easy because, and the thing is that what has happened, I won't say too much about the book because I think it's very relatable, is that apparently this Azo, obviously, she's known their ways, because what this book is really saying to us as, you know, black people or black people, you know, because of the way the society or whatever corporate environment we find ourselves in, you almost, as a black person, you obviously don't, I think we've heard it before, that as a black person, as a black woman, you have to work twice as hard than your other contemporaries or counterparts. You have to work twice as hard. And a lot of people who has probably known the streak, a lot of women, we watch this in films where they want to in any shape or form get to the top, and they do whatever it takes to get to the top, and they almost become numb to any feelings, to anything. And that's exactly what happened to Azo. She's almost become numb, and she, even though she, yes, she's, because she's so much about the, yes, black supremacy or whatever, or you're all black, we're strong women, we're black, and we do whatever it takes to get to the top, you've now become someone that's not got feelings, someone that is not, doesn't care about whatever gets in your way. You just run them over, even if that person is a fellow black woman, you know. And that is what that story is really shouting out to me, that these people definitely exist. And there's not, in the book, in the story, and that's where it fails me in that story, because they're not linked to something that is just like, seriously, really, that's just irrelevant. But then they're also saying something about, there was something about, oh, this is a group. It's like a group or a cult kind of a thing. And I think, I don't know if, obviously, I don't even know if it's a fictional book. It probably is, I don't know. But I mean, there's probably an element of truth in it as well. But it's the idea that, oh yeah, there's a cult. It's like kind of like a cult that this other black, so they call them OBG. There's a group, you know, other black girl that is going around dominating different parts of the United States. You know, they are there. And the truth is that, in a way, it's true, because in a way it's true, but I don't think in that literal sense. Now, I don't think it's in that literally sense, but there are people like that. I've come across them, even though they're not aware, you know, even though they're not aware that what they're doing is what they're doing, you know, like, oh, it's like they want to get to the top at any cost, they want to have a voice, they want to, you know, I want people to love them, because want people to accept them, they want to climb to the top, they want to be accepted, they want to be listened to, they want to be heard at any cost whatsoever, and they don't really care what would the person, the next, even though the next person is a black girl, and you know, we all have to support each other to get to that top. But no, they don't care, because they're so determined to get to their goal, and they push anyone else, whoever it is, be you black or not black, they push them on that. And it's mostly actually directed towards other black girls, actually. because they see them more as a competition. That's another thing, because in their bid to be relevant, in their bid to be accepted for who they are, for, you know, for even the white people or whoever it is to look at their faces, they don't mind demeaning the other person in there with the other black girl. They don't mind pushing that one down so that they can be seen, they can be heard. And that's exactly, you know, what the story was talking about there. And it's sad, you know. It's sad, it's not, I don't know if it's we as black women or black people in general that has made this work, made this happen to us, or it is the other, you know, this is other society that we find ourselves in that has made that the situation. But it's very much present. That's something we should just be aware of. I don't like to talk about racism, because at the end of the day, it's between us, you know. That's where the other black girl is actually happening within the black community. And without being too, you know, over Black Lives Matter and things like that, I don't want to be that, but the thing is that these things are very much present. And I just really want to just touch on that story quickly. Again, like I said, it's very disappointing, the ending. I was really enjoying it, but when it got to the end, I was very disappointed. I must say, it was very, very disappointing. And it was just almost anticlimactic, you would say. But I would advise us to read it, not because of how the story ends, but basically the story and what was going on in between that. And then there was this, oh no, because reading the story or listening to the story, it reminded me of the story of, obviously, How to Get Away with Murder, the girl that was actually reading the story. You know, if you look, I've forgotten, I don't know if it's Mercedes or whatever, and then that black girl who was so determined to be a lawyer, and she was doing everything she can to get, you know, well, that was the character that Naomi King played. That's exactly what was happening, one of the things that was happening in the story. And then there was also this, it also reminded me of the story of the one with Kerry Washington and the president guy, I forgot, Scandal, very much reminded me of that. There was that as well about the scandal, and it's like, so it's very interesting because it's the role, I mean, the role, you know, or the, I don't know if it's the black women that is, if we are the one doing this to ourselves, or it's the supremacy, white supremacy, or things like that is causing all of this to happen, and no, make almost making us turn against each other in a way whereas we are supposed to be together and work together. And it reminds you of the competition amongst black women and black women in general. I mean, amongst black women and women in general, there's always that competition. Why is there competition? You find yourself where, you know, you are the black person, only black person. We should be together and work together, and, you know, we should be sisters. But you see that there's always, that is not always there. An interesting thing, I think what I've come to realize is that Nala is actually mixed race. So, and then she has a white boyfriend, and these are the people they call, or maybe, because technically she's black. I don't know if her father was the black or the mother, but she's technically black, yeah. And I think there was also something about a lighter skin black, so I think she was mixed, yeah, and a darker skin, because Hazel was much darker, and she felt more powerful, and she was more of a competition to her because she was more darker. She was probably more blacker, so she has more rights or that kind of a thing, or she, you know, that kind of a thing as well. And then, you know, to call someone like Nala Oreos, you know, we've all heard the term, and with them, we look at them as being more of a softie, you know, because they're not fully black, but they're not fully white. I don't know. I think there's just a thing there as well, a stereotype there as well, I think. And then that the people who are properly, they're full-blooded black, are the ones that are much stronger. And I think that's what they also portray there, which I don't know if I kind of like that in a way, because, I mean, it's kind of what, and that was what was screaming out to me anyway, that's the situation. But I'm probably sure it's not always the case. And then there's also that case whereby you are, maybe there's just an element of you that is white, you know, probably your mother, your father, or your boyfriend is white, so because of that you are an Oreo and you are much softer than, you know, the person who is fully black and things like that. So there's that also in there. I'm not one to speak about racist. I'm not one to speak about race or racism or things like that. Probably something that I try to shy away from. Not that it doesn't concern me, but just like you have to experience it sometimes to really talk more passionately about it. And like I said before, I have been in a company whereby I was the only black, and it's not just a small company, it's quite a big company, and I'm the only black there. And I don't know, is it that I was not observant enough to notice if there is some sort of attitude or actions toward me, because I didn't notice it, or I just don't pay attention to things like that. I don't know. Unless it's really in my face. You know, unless it's really my face, then I know. But I've never particularly experienced such things before to feel some type of way about wherever I'm working in. I'm aware that, yes, I'm the only black person, but I don't feel that way, if that makes sense. I've never felt that way, you know. And I think I was lucky there, because I know that people who have probably gone to other companies and they've really felt that they were black, you know. And there's also something there about, you know, when Nala was still the only black person, like black person in general there, she almost felt special in that way, which is kind of true in a way. You feel almost special, you feel kind of, you know, people might treat you a bit more delicately in a way, sort of. And I think it just depends on the company, on the environment you find yourself in. I think it really depends on that, you know. I've found myself in similar place. I mean, I've worked in a few places where I've actually been the only black person, and I can say that I've not in any way felt that, oh, it's because I'm black. I've never. I think it's all of, I've always believed something is also about your thinking, your mentality as well. That's just me. I know that's just me. I've never really, you know, there are some places where it's really in your face. You can tell that it's because of your race. And then there's some places that they're probably very secretive about it. You don't really show it in your face, you know. And there's many of them. And I know those ones are very much prevalent wherever you go, especially in the workplace. They all smile in your faces. That's something they're good at, the smile in your faces. But when it really gets to what it really gets to, you get to see the whole thing. For many people, I've never had to experience that, thankfully. And I just think it's because you're lucky, you know. But you know, there are people that have worked in different places and they've experienced core racism, and it's really been in their faces, you know. A lot of the time, even if I feel like maybe something is not right or something is not thinking, I've never, but if I thought I maybe sensed it in the tiniest form possible, I don't think of it as because of my race. That's not the first thing that comes to my head. The first thing that comes to my head is, I don't know, it's more to do with me as a person, more of my personality than anything else. That's what goes to me straight away. That's what comes to my mind. The color of my skin does not come to my mind. And I know that there will be people that may be listening to me right now, start shouting at me like, what are you talking about? Open your eyes, that kind of a thing. But I'm just saying that for me, you know, I'm very aware of all these things. It's not that I'm not aware, but if by any chance I sense people have done certain things, you know, when the time of Black Lives Matter came about, I really appreciate it. I'm aware of it. And I know people were coming talking about their experiences. They're working with certain companies. You think it's because obviously you're black, they didn't give it to you. Whereas people have come. And I don't know, sometimes I think to myself, is it because you're black? No, but there's some obvious, very obvious, when you know that, okay, this one is not because you're black. I mean, this one is not because of anything. This is probably to do with your race or whatever. But there are some things that maybe we should not, I'm just saying, you know, don't come for me. Oh, you can come for me if you want. But I'm just saying that sometimes racism shouldn't be the first thing we think about. Let's think about, okay, what am I doing that's not right? What's probably to do with my personality, or what have I done in the first place that may have warranted this? If you've assessed all of that thing, then you can say, okay, what is it that this person has against me? You know, what is it that, you know, that kind of a thing. And I mean, I'm not gonna say I've not had problems with colleagues or with people, with bosses before, but you know, they've come back. You know, initially I've had problems with my bosses, but the thing is, at the end of the day, before you know it, they've turned around and started being my friend. I don't know how, maybe they're scared or whatever. They've turned around and started smiling at me, and even people that are still scared of them, they say, I don't know how she's so nice to you, that kind of a thing. Because I'm like, I don't know as well, because I know when I first of all started, she was like all rumbling her face, but all of a sudden now she sees me far away, she starts smiling at me. I don't know. But the thing is that I know, because people have said so much about me to her, and she's seen my work ethic, and she's seen the way that I'm always smiling. People are always asking me, why are you always smiling? What is making you so smart? I'm like, I don't know, I just smile. And I think that in a way has infected her, and obviously my attitude to work and things like that has made that, you know, have a different view of me, you know. But even still, I'm not, you know, I wasn't really keen on my boss or whatever. So yeah, I found out that even when I've probably had one or two things with anyone, one way or the other, it just turns around, you know. And yeah, so I've never really had any issue with people when it comes to work. Maybe because I've not stayed long enough there, maybe some might say, and things like that, probably. Yeah, could be possible, because the thing is that it's bound to happen no matter where you go, where you work. I know that for sure. You will have some sort of friction with someone or the other, even in real life, whether I work or no work. In real life, you always have friction with people no matter what. So it's bound to happen. It's just a matter of when. It's just a matter of when. So I'm not here to be like all righteous that, oh yeah, I'm so perfect, everybody loves me. No, I don't love everybody. I mean, I love everybody, but I mean, every now and then I know there will always be frictions between colleagues and things like that. That is very much, that's bound to happen. It's just when. So that's why I think that's what I just wanted to like point out, and not without rambling too much, because I want to actually bring someone on that we can actually go deeper into this book, because there's so much that can be said on this, discussed with this book. I'm hoping that the person would actually, it would have to be someone that's actually read the book as well. But yeah, I would recommend you guys to read that book, and you know, it's just, it kind of highlights things, you know, that's actually going on in the black female society, I would say, in a corporate female, you know, in the corporate world, as a black woman and another black woman, and what really goes on. I don't know if it's a true depiction of what has actually gone on in somebody's life, but there is an element, there are a lot of issues that could be raised for that, that's also very true and relatable. And yeah guys, this is where I'm gonna leave you. This is a short one, but I really wanted to, you know, touch on it quickly. And thank you so much for listening. I hope you've enjoyed it. If you've got anything to, you know, to contribute to this, if you probably read the book as well, let me know. Let me hear your view. Let me know what you thought about the book. Let me hear your view, what you think about what I've said so far. And you know, it would be nice to hear your view, and you know, talk about it as well on the next time I talk about this book. So thank you so much for listening. I hope you've enjoyed it. I would say that the take home from here is just that we need to work together as a black woman, as black women, as black people. I say this to myself as well. It's not just to you guys. I'm saying this to myself as well, because sometimes it's not that I don't see another black woman as a competition, but it's just the fact that I don't like to be, I'm not so overzealous about, oh, we have to stick together, power to the people. I'm not that kind of person when it comes to the workplace. Let's just do our work, go home, talk, chit-chat, you know, do the thing and go home. That's all I see. Let's just come and work and go home. That's it. That's the way I see it. And then if there's a problem, yes, we'll talk about it, we'll discuss it and stuff like that. But it's not so much about, oh, we have to stick together, we have to be working together. We work together, they see us together. I'm not so much about that, because I like my space. So I like my space. I don't care if you're another black. That doesn't mean I have to have lunch with you all the time. No, I don't. Sorry. I know you're another black woman, we have to stick together, but I don't have to be sticking with you all the time. Sorry, it's just not me. I just like my space. But that doesn't mean that, oh, if there's anything come up that needs our attention, that needs for us to pull together and solve it, I'm up for it. I'm up for it. And as long as it's something that I agree with and I believe in, of course I will. You know, that's not just supporting you doesn't always necessarily mean, oh, I have to be with you 24/7, or I have to be talking to you 24/7, because that's not my personality. That's not the kind of person I am. I like my space. I like just stay away. That's just me. But it doesn't mean that if the opportunity comes or arises for us to come together, stick together, because, you know, we are Black women, because we are women, I'm up for it. I'm so up for it. Yeah, it's just a matter of just sticking together. It doesn't necessarily mean we have to be together 24/7, but it's just a matter of fighting for each other. No, we're not in competition. Let's not be in competition with one another. That's the thing. There's always that kind of element of competition to show that you're stronger, you're smarter, you're thinking. Nah, especially when you find yourself in this kind of, it's like they are turning us against each other, or we are the one fighting each other. You know, that's what happens even in the world at large, you know, turning against one another. That is how they break us. And it's like they don't even have to do much. They don't even have to say much, you don't have to do much, you just need to put you in a container. And it, you know, there's a thing I've read somewhere whereby they say that if you put, I think it's ants, I don't know if it's ants or some sort of insect, that if you put them into a jar, they've done an experiment, which is a true experiment. They did an experiment that if you put this, I think it's ants or something like that, put them in the jar, they start fighting against each other. And that's what's happening, because they put us in a container, in an office, in a thing like that, in a enclosed place, and they see what happens. We don't need to say much, we don't need to do much, just watch what happens. And it's kind of typical amongst women. Sorry to say, I'm a woman myself, so I can say that it's typical amongst women. It's like once there's two, even more than one woman in the place, God help us. God help us. But yeah, that's the thing. But anyway, I'm gonna leave it here today. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you've enjoyed it. There's so much to talk about, and we'll be coming back to talk more on this particular book. Thank you so much once again, and I'll catch you guys again in the next episode. Bye bye.